I'm Paul Wigraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me is the Director of Cultural Affairs for the City of Wilmington and no stranger to Delaware State of the Arts, Tina Betts. Welcome, Tina.
Hi, Paul. Good to see you again. Not that
we're
we don't see
each other.
Glad to be
chatting with you today as yeah. my farewell interview with Delaware
yes.
State of the Arts. I couldn't think of a better guest to have than an artist that I've worked with and an administrator that I've worked with for, I think, the full length of my career here with the Division of the Arts.
You're absolutely right. It's been decades.
Yes, it has been. Even though we're each in our 20s.
Well, I don't know how that happens. Yes.
Yeah, that being said, we're here today to talk about Clifford Brown and the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival. In its, I believe you said, off-air 34th year?
Yeah, it's in its 34th year. It began in the late 80s, and there's been an annual festival every single year since then.
Well, for our listeners who are not as familiar with Wilmington or Clifford Brown, tell us a little bit about Clifford Brown and how that has evolved into this annual celebration, and now really a year-round celebration of him and his life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Clifford Brown was born right here in Wilmington, just a few blocks from Rodney Square. As a matter of fact, the lot where his childhood house was has a historic marker on it, recognizing him and his contributions to the arts through jazz music. He had a fairly short career because he died very young in a tragic car accident. But the impression he left on the jazz world worldwide has just, it's indelible. And there are people who still use him as inspiration today for making music.
So he grew up in Wilmington, went to school here in Wilmington, and his young and unfortunately short-lived career took place here in the Wilmington area, but also far beyond Wilmington, correct?
Yeah, he did a lot of performing in Europe. Uh-huh. And of course, you know, here in the United States. Yeah, he performed a lot in this very short time. His compositions, many of them have become jazz standards, like Joy Spring, for example, Dawood. That just happens, you know, you hear them all the time when you're listening to any jazz radio or if there are bands covering jazz music. And as you said, he went to Howard High School back in the day. So he definitely is one of those, and when you use the word native son, he's definitely a native son of Wilmington.
Mm-hmm. So what were the origins then of the festival? Because it started as an annual festival, I believe, and has grown far beyond that, but let's focus on the roots of the festival itself.
Yeah, when the festival first started, it was not named for Clifford Brown. It was called Jazzin' on the Square. And it was held in Rodney Square, as it is still to this day. And a couple of years after the festival started, there was, some advocacy from community members to rename it after Clifford Brown. And the city decided it was a good idea. And so ever since then, that was the early 90s, it's been the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival. And it has grown over the years. It's been from, I think we began in the 80s with 3 days, and the longest it went was back in the early 2000s, it was a week-long festival, and then 4 days. And this year, it's 5 days for the festival. But as you mentioned, the acknowledgement of Clifford Brown music, and I think even broader than that, jazz, which is American-born music, we celebrate it all year round through Clifford Brown year round. We started last year on Clifford Brown's birthday at the end of October and did a monthly performance series that we call Clifford Brown year round.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe most years the festival has been in June. Is that right? But this year it is August 4th through 8th. Was this in part pandemic related?
It was directly and absolutely pandemic related. I mean, it was difficult to know early in the year what June was going to look like as far as the CDC and state guidelines. And so we decided, you know, we really wanted to do this year. We didn't want to pick a date that was more likely to be canceled than not. So we pushed it out to August and figured, you know, the way things were going by August, maybe we had a really good chance of pulling this off as a live event back in Rodney Square.
Now, last year you did, I believe, sort of a virtual festival, which actually, I was able to witness some of it down on Market Street with the big screens out in front of the Grand with you hosting. I bet you're glad to be back outside again.
Yeah, you know, last year it was an experience that I'm glad I had. It was very, very different. We clocked like 40,000 views from 88 different countries. So I mean, it was a success. However, you know, it simply just was not the same as being out live in Rodney Square and you know, seeing all of the people that gather in Rodney Square. Some people have been to the festival every single year since we started doing it. And they meet up with other people that they meet up with once a year. And as you mentioned, it was always in June. And so it felt a little strange moving it to August, but we adjusted. And we just wanted to give it the best chance possible of happening.
But there's something to be said too about live music where people come together, because not only for the audience, I mean, experiencing music in a social setting like that is an entirely different experience. And certainly for the musicians, a much more rewarding experience, because I think often audiences don't think about, and both you and I as performers can appreciate this, I think audiences often don't think about how dependent the performer is on the reaction of the audience, or how inspiring that is for the performer, really.
Yeah, it can, the reaction, the response, the connection with an audience definitely can shape a performance. You know, as you said, you and I have both performed in front of live audiences. And, you know, there have also been times when, you know, I've done a virtual performance and it is a totally different experience. There is something that an artist gets. There is a lot of give and take in the experience, you know, between the audience and then the person on stage who's performing. It's a very different experience. And just having sitting or standing side by side with people, there's a totally different vibe in mm-hmm. that type of environment.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into this year's scheduling. What challenges did you have in getting back into the groove of reaching out, recruiting musicians, kind of serving the function of producer of this 5-day event?
Yeah, you know, it's really strange. I have said a couple of times during this process that this is the hardest it's ever been for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because artists were difficult to find. There were a lot of artists who were chomping at the bit to get back out there, but there was just this feeling it feels the same way it has felt getting back on a horse, which I did a few years ago for the first time after a number of years. I mean, it just, you know, you can feel the pain, getting back on. And that's the way it was with this. I mean, I think getting reorganized. And one of the things that we try to do with this festival is we try to be very thoughtful about, you know, what it is, you know, the type of jazz that we're presenting, making sure that there is diversity in the music, diversity in the performers. It's just really important that you try to, you know, it's not just about booking artists. It's about being very thoughtful about it and having and making an offering that makes sense, that's interesting, that's inspirational. So we reached out. There were a couple of artists that were not back out on the road again. A couple of artists that we had contracted for last year. I mean, they just had not gotten back into the groove. We made an offer, a re-offer to one artist who was on the fence for a long time. And finally, they got back to us and said, he's just not ready. You know, he hasn't gone into rehearsal yet, and he's just not ready. So that happened in a couple of cases. For Diane Reeves, for example, who will be performing at this year's festival on Friday night, not just as a performer on Friday night, but also doing a vocal workshop during the day on Friday. And I want to say thank you very much to the Delaware Division of the Arts, the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation, for supporting the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival and the activities that we do, you know, with grants, program grants. So Diane Reeves' workshop is being supported by the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation, for example. But this will be Diane's only second time out in front of a live audience, you know, ever since before the pandemic started. And part of her workshop, leading into her workshop, workshop participants will have an opportunity to watch the last half hour of a rehearsal, of her rehearsal process, which is going to be, you know, interesting and fascinating. So she, you know, she's just getting back out. And there are, you know, a couple of other artists who say, this is, you know, yeah, this, we're just getting our sea legs again. So not only from the producing or curating side of it, getting, you know, our sea legs back, or me getting my sea legs back, there are artists who are, you know, just, you know, getting theirs back also.
Well, I want to delve in more to the artists that you're bringing in and talk a little bit about the range of jazz, because jazz is really a pretty broadly encompassing art form. But first, let me remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM. And 1410 WDOV. Joining me today is Tina Betts, the Director of Cultural Affairs for the City of Wilmington, and we are talking about the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival coming up on August 4th through the 8th in Rodney Square in downtown Wilmington. Tina, talk a little bit about how, for the person who says, oh, I love jazz, or I'm not so fond of jazz, talk about the range of jazz, because in the art world, because there are different, you know, some terms we're familiar with, smooth jazz, for example, but talk about that range and how that's represented in the festival.
Well, it's there, you know, it is such a range that it is, you know, even difficult to, you can't, it's so expansive. Yeah. And it keeps expanding all the time. I read an article recently where there was a discussion between Herbie Hancock and Wynton Marsalis talking about, you know, jazz. And Herbie said, you know, this is where Wynton and I disagree. You know, I like, you know, the idea of being able to infuse, he said, for example, hip hop, you know, into my new music. And then there are some artists who say, no, I really want to try to keep it, and I'm going to use the word, as pure as possible.
Right.
So, you know, doing it for 5 days gives us an opportunity to explore all of those different textures of jazz. I mean, for example, we open the festival with Terrell Stafford, who's a trumpet player, and that's a nod to Clifford Brown, you know, kicking off the night with him. Then we have Eric Manet, who is, you know, probably leans more of an R&B. So he brings an R&B flavor to jazz. Kenny Barron is, you know, I would say is more of a straight ahead type of jazz artist. And then we're even doing something on Sunday, Paul, where we have a choreographer, Raphael Xavier. We're premiering one of his works in partnership with the Delaware Art Museum. And he has infused jazz, breakdancing, and African sounds. So, I mean, it's just so broad. So from Wednesday through the closing on Sunday, you know, I say, even if it's a performer that you haven't heard of, even if you think you've heard that performer and you're not particularly, you know, keen on their type of jazz, I say come out. It's a free festival. It's the largest free festival on the East Coast. And, you know, we have presented presented artists through the years who at the time nobody heard of, like Hiromi, for example. When she came to the festival in the early 2001s, nobody had ever heard of Hiromi. She was absolutely fabulous. We brought her back two more times, and now she's Hiromi. You know what I mean? So, you know, one of the most sought after artist in the world. So come out. It's a great time in Rodney Square. You will get a full, you know, the full range of jazz. You know, if you come every night, there are going to be some surprises. It really is. This festival represents jazz very, very well.
What's the start time each night? And all the events are taking place in Rodney Square, correct?
All of the main stage events are right. taking place in Rodney Square. Diane Reeves' workshop on Friday afternoon is taking place at the Christina Cultural Arts Center.
Okay.
And then right. on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, we're doing late night jams. So after the festival is over on Wednesday, I can't remember the nights, to tell you the truth, but we're doing late night jams, two of them at the Hotel DuPont in the Le Clavier, and then two of them down at Chelsea. So check out the website, cliffordbrownjazzfest.org, for, you know, when the late night jams are happening. On the other nights, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the festival starts at 5:30, okay. And we'll go till about 10 o'clock, 10:30 or so. On Saturday, the festival starts at 1, and then on Sunday, the festival starts at 1.
That's great. Now, you alluded to Diane Reed's workshop, and that leads me to the question about how you have used the Clifford Brown and his prominence here in Wilmington and in the jazz world to serve as a foundation for teaching jazz in mm-hmm. Wilmington. And you were saying off air that the Boise Lowry workshops are going on right now. Talk a little bit about that program.
The Boise Lowry Living Jazz Residency is a two-week intensive jazz residency for young artists who perform and compose. We started off with at the Light the Queen Foundation, and the graduate concerts would happen at the end of the 2 weeks at the Light the Queen Foundation. This year, they're happening on the main stage in Rodney Square. They will be the first performance on Sunday, July 8th. It's a competitive program to get in to the residency, and the all expenses for the participants are paid by the program. In addition, participants receive a per diem. And the way that we can do that is, again, because we have the generosity of, for example, the Delaware Division of the Arts that supports the Boise Lowry Living Jazz Residency. So these young people are in town for 2 weeks, intensive study, workshops, composition, assessments, rehearsing. They go into the community and perform. They also work with younger artists. I mean, artists younger than them. They work with students from the Christina Cultural Arts Center. They go down to the University of Delaware Jazz Camp and work with the young jazz artists there. So it's a very well-rounded experience for these young jazz artists who perform and compose. And the composition part of this, of the residency, is extremely important. All of the music that is performed at the graduates concert that will happen on Sunday, July 8th this year in the main stage at the Jazz Festival are all new compositions. So this is new music that's added to the jazz canon.
And I've had the opportunity in the past to hear that concert at the end of the residency. And I can attest to just how brilliant the work is that they not only compose, but then present. I mean, it's really, really some great work. Now, you talked earlier, we got a couple minutes left. You talked earlier about Clifford Brown year round. Talk a little bit in the 2 minutes we've got left, what that looks like these days and how that has helped keep jazz sort of at the forefront throughout the year here in Wilmington.
During the pandemic, it was difficult or impossible at some point for people to get out to see live performances. Yeah. So doing something on a continuing basis and being able to offer it out to the public was extremely important. And we went to, you know, what we found is that there are some people, even, you know, not during a pandemic, that may have a difficult time for whatever reason going to a place to see a live performance. So we will continue to do Clifford Brown year-round on a monthly basis, live streaming it, but also going back to the original format of having a live audience also. I mean, just getting it out to people, as I said, because whatever the circumstances are, who simply cannot leave their home base to go see the music is very important to keeping the you know, jazz music alive, but also keeping people connected to the art.
Now, for the festival itself on Rodney Square, it's the kind of thing where people bring their own chairs, is that right? Blankets or whatever, and you'll have a stage set up on one end of the the park there for the square. Is that right?
Yeah. This year, the stage will be on King Street. People who have been coming to the festival for years will see that it's a little bit different because Rodney Square is a little bit different.
Oh, right. It used to be splash on the Trust Building side.
Yeah.
Well, it's on the right.
Where the fountain is. Okay. Yeah, Rodney Square is beautiful. And, I want to thank Mike, our Mayor Mike, for his vision to beautify our central square and having the festival back in this newly renovated Rodney Square will be fantastic. But yes, bring a blanket, bring a chair. There will be food vendors there. There are also many, many choices of restaurants close by where people can go buy takeout and bring it back into the square. It's a very informal gathering in a beautiful spot in the center of Wilmington, Delaware.
And quickly, the website where people can get more information.
CliffordBrownJazzFest.org. That's CliffordBrownJazzFest.org.
Well, Tina Betts, it has been a delight chatting with you about Clifford Brown and your love not only of jazz and music, but the arts and Wilmington. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Paul. It's always a pleasure.